We're going to continue studying about the wonderful Word of God. And we're going to move to a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It looks like an H-E here, but it's actually a long A sound. It's actually hey, like hey. Isn't that cool? I say, how do you know that? YouTube. This afternoon, I Googled it and I found out how to pronounce these Hebrew letters. And so that's what it is. It's hey. All right. So please stand if you would. We're going to research this letter hey. And it's Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. And if you'll read with me all eight of these verses, we'll be working on these for the next couple of weeks. And so we'll read them together for the next couple of weeks. But beginning in verse 33, all together through verse 40, beginning together. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Stablish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Now, so it's kind of fun. You can Google on the Hebrew alphabet. There's a lady teaching how to pronounce the words, or the letters rather, and their functions. It's pretty interesting. For instance, the second one we've already gone over, Beth, actually has a V sound and a B sound. It depends on the usage. And so I learned that today. That was kind of cool. And there you go. So that it's hey. But this fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, I want you to notice, again, we're looking at the attitude of the psalmist. What is he trying to do here? He penned 176 verses. And like I said, the vast majority of them, I think Brother Chadwick said, I think three or four, whatever, that didn't have anything to do with mentioning the Word of God, but all of them having to do with the Word of God. But what does he have to say that he can't say in like 30 verses? You know, why 176? Why eight for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet? Because there's actually something to be said about this thing that many different ways. Now, we've already talked about the word teach. And just to remind you, Webster defines teach as to instruct, to inform, to communicate to another the knowledge of that which he was before ignorant. And we spent some time talking about that quite extensively. But I want you to notice the attitude of the psalmist here. He's not just saying teach, but rather in these first three verses, he uses a similar phrasing to begin each verse. Look at verse 33. Teach me. Verse 34. Give me. And verse 35. Make me. That's what we're going to focus on tonight. We're going to focus on teach me, give me, and make me. You know what? As a Christian, we've got to notice why things are where they are in the Word of God. We understand about teaching and to instruct and to inform and communicate about something that we were before ignorant. But the psalmist says here, he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So if you notice his purpose at the end of being taught at the beginning was to keep it unto the end, to have a longevity, to have endurance in keeping the statutes of God. So he had a purpose for the teaching. So in other words, I went down the list on Webster's Dictionary because most words have alternate definitions or applications of definitions. And I found one that applies to the attitude of the psalmist in this verse. Now remember, he says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." When you work and live with something for a long time, what do you become with it? Familiar? Accustomed? It becomes a habit. Right? Well, isn't that funny? Because another application of the word teach is to make familiar or to become accustomed to. Isn't that interesting? We've got to become accustomed to the statutes of God. We need to become familiar, not to the point of apathy, but to the point of it's our routine. It's just who we are. Doesn't he just want us to be Christians? I mean, it shouldn't be a foreign thing for us. It should be something, it just should just be, that's who I am. You know, I am who I am, and an odd fellow that I am. But that's who I am. At least it's genuine. I'm genuinely odd, and that's okay, I suppose. Some people are genuinely nice or good or whatever, but not me. I'm just generally odd. But you understand, it's real. What were the Pharisees accused of? Being hypocritical. In other words, it wasn't real. It was a facade. They were whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. What is the thing that we talked about this morning that Paul said? He said, I'm concerned about this, that after I preach to others, I myself might be a castaway. See, there's a familiarity when we have God teach us his statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. That's his wish for God to teach him. In Psalm 27:11, it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." In Psalm 86, verses 11 and 12, he says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Isn't that an interesting phrase? Unite my heart to my walking. This has to do with being accustomed and being familiar with something. We're sold out to it. He says, "I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore." Does that sound like I shall keep it unto the end forevermore? "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is kind of greeting the Corinthians. Remember, we don't want to get our church doctrine from 1 Corinthians. We'd rather get it from 2 Corinthians, okay? There's a lot of rebuking going on in 1 Corinthians. Now, "I thank God," he says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm unto you the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." So if God is going to confirm in them something, isn't that teaching? Yeah, that's teaching. And he said that you shall be blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that I shall keep it unto the end? That's what he wanted for them. He wanted the Corinthians to be successful, to be able to have heard the things of God and
learn the things of God and being taught by God so that they could keep it to the end. And that's what we should desire from the wonderful Word of God. Go over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. You see, it's critical for us to understand the sentiment of the writer. He's saying to God, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, there is a life to be lived to the end. And it's the Christian life. And it's something that we need to ask God to teach us. To teach us to follow His statutes, and that I shall keep it unto the end. You see, there are many verses that talk about enduring to the end and making it to the end and having that longevity. And remember, Paul said that he ran with patience the race that was set before him, and he pressed toward the prize, right? And he pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he did, that's the end. And I think in a couple messages ago, I talked about that finish line in the cross country race and pressing toward the end of the race and not letting up and not letting go of these things. We ought to beg God to teach us His statutes so that we can keep them to the end. You know, the end may come at different times for all of us. Some younger in life, some older in life. Some saved a short time, some saved a long time. But it doesn't matter, because we need to pursue to the end. We need to finish to the end. Remember the parable that Jesus talked about? The man that went to hire the people for the vineyard and the work? Right? And he went early in the day and hired a bunch of people, and then he still didn't have enough workers, so he went a few hours later and hired some more, and a few hours later and hired some more, and a few hours later hired some more, right? And remember, in the negotiations of these contracts, he promised them all the same wage. It didn't matter how long they worked. And that was the master's doing. It was his vineyard. It was his money, right? His work to be done. Why does it matter to us? If we agreed on a wage, that's what it is. And it doesn't matter if somebody only works an hour and gets the same pay as I do. We agreed upon it, and that was the gist of the parable. But can I tell you something? No matter if we live a short life for Christ or a long life for Christ, we need to do it unto the end. Because there's a crown. There's a reward. There's a well done, thou good and faithful servant. And it's not based on the time. It's based on if we endure to the end. We need to look toward the end, the author and finisher of our faith, and press toward that mark. In Genesis 26, the Israelites are told to sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed, this was to Isaac, and I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, he was taught the way of thy statutes, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. He kept it to the end. Abraham was not perfect. But he was called the friend of God. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I don't remember reading anywhere else that anybody else was called the friend of God. That's a pretty big accomplishment. Do you think Abraham was taught the statutes of God? Yes, he was. And by God's testimony, Abraham obeyed the voice of God to the end. You know what? We have to have that same desire. Go to John chapter 15. Jesus describes a similar situation for us, the believer. Look at John chapter 15. I think we sang it tonight. Am I right? Yes, we did. Hymn 190. John 15. Look at verse 8. John 15, 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Is that kind of similar to what he says, and I shall keep it unto the end? Yeah, continuing in it. He says, continue in my love. There it is. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You understand that we're supposed to stay in this. When we're taught by God the way of his statutes, we shall keep it unto the end. We shall abide with him. If Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The love of Christ, we're going to look at this later on. I don't want to get too far ahead. But it constrains us. It keeps us in his love. And we've got to understand that we've got to be taught by God. Do you get up in the morning and say to God, teach me? Teach me. I mean, how badly do you want to be familiar with him? How badly do you want to be accustomed to him? And again, it's not to the point that you don't care anymore, because you just, we don't want to get familiar with God in that sense. But we've got to know him. And we've got to know about him. How in the world are you going to keep his statutes if you don't know them? It's going to be quite impossible. So we've got to be taught by the Lord. And we've got to want to be taught by the Lord. One of the things as a teacher that I endeavor to do each and every year with each and every student is I want to get to a point where the student does the work or learns the lesson because they want to, not because I'm making them. Okay? I'm a pretty convincing individual. All right? Sometimes by way of brute force. Okay? But whatever works. You know, like I said before, Navy motto, if you can't fix it, get a bigger hammer. Okay? Square peg, round hole, no problem. Bigger hammer. Okay? That's all you got to do. But listen, force is not the best motivator. Fear is not the best motivator. Love is. Love is. Listen, if I can get the kid to say, I want to learn this, I win. I have succeeded. God wants us to look at him and say, teach me the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 34. I'm getting smarter every week. It is permanently marked in my Bible. All right. Look at verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Now he says, give me. Now, most of the time, I am not going to tell people to have a give me attitude. Okay, but in this case, it's okay. Because it's for something different. Della is doing this. Okay? Yeah. Babies get this. They understand. She sees something. All right. I'll come in the door and she'll see me and she'll be like this. Okay? What's she saying? Give me. Yeah, give me my daddy. He's home now. I want to see him. Or most importantly, when she's in the kitchen, it's usually up at the cabinet or at the refrigerator or whatever. Okay? And that's all right, right? I mean, that's okay. But you understand, we ought to want God to give us understanding. Now remember, we learned that understanding was simply seeing it from His point of view. Coming to His point of view, not ours. So we ought to ask God, God, bring me to see it your way. Give me understanding. God, I know my vision is cross-eyed. I know I cannot see what you want me to see. Give me understanding. Bring me to that point. So if we look at the word give, it simply means to bestow, to confer, or to transmit from one to another. To give. He says, transmit it to me. Bestow it to me. Confer it upon me. Give it to me. Give me understanding. God, come on. I need it. I want to see it your way. Folks, listen. In man's wisdom, we could not understand this book. This is the mind of God. We've got to learn to see it God's way. You know why the world tells us today, no, this book is not up to date with society. Good. Good. Oh, this book doesn't apply to society today. Great. I don't want it to. Society is wacky, folks. They're gone clean out of their minds. Yeah. Oh, wait, the Bible tells us they're going to do that. In the last days. Oh, there's a long list. I don't have time to go over that. And I'd butcher it if I tried by memory. But these people, inordinate affection and all this stuff, and lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God, wait a minute, oh, all those other sins that, yeah, we just won't go there, okay? But listen to me, it's here. It's here. So I don't want to line up with them. I don't want to line up with my flesh and my carnality. I want to line up with God. God, give me understanding. We need to have a teach me and a give me attitude. Again, not to consume upon our lust, because it says if you ask and you ask amiss to consume it upon your lust, that's why you have not, right? And God says that that's not the way it's supposed to be. But this is so that we can line up with God. And guess what God wants? God wants us to line up with Him. He says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. God, give me understanding. Folks, how can we observe something with our whole heart that we do not understand? We can't. So we've got to ask God to give us that understanding. In 1 Chronicles, look at chapter first Chronicles 22. Go there, because we're going to jump to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, because this story helps us understand this request. Again, David speaking here to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles 22. Okay, 1 Chronicles 22. He's telling Solomon something important that he needs to remember in just a few chapters later. Look at verse 11. 1 Chronicles 22:11. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord, thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Who's giving it to Solomon? David, because of his words and his writings and his teachings to his son? No. No, David says, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. I mean, it can't get a whole lot closer to what he wrote in Psalm 119. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. He says those things. Then thou shalt prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments with the Lord, which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong. Oh, here's the good courage thing again. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now, flip over a few pages to where Solomon and Joshua... wake up, brain. Solomon and God are talking here, not Joshua. I don't know where Joshua came from. He's not even in this message. All right. 2 Chronicles, look at chapter 1. Solomon's having a conversation with God in verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Wait a minute. God says, ask what I shall give thee. God doesn't mind. God doesn't mind. There's a passage in the New Testament that talks about a good father and a good parent wanting to give good things to their children. God wants to give us good things. Guess what? Here's God. He's there. We're over here in our thinking. He wants us to line up with him. He wants us to be in understanding with him. Solomon, he appears to Solomon. Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Well, that goes back to Abraham's thing. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor as such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have like. Wow. No, that's it. He said, give me. And God said, yep. Why? Because he's going to give us the things that he wants us to have. But he does want us to ask for them. I don't think that the psalmist was even bold in his request. He said, teach me. He said, give me understanding. God wants us to come boldly before his throne. Now again, not with a chip on your shoulder. Not say, God, give me what I deserve. Kind of like the prodigal did. No, not that kind of give me. See, it's a different kind. It's a different kind. It's the attitude of the psalmist, and it ought to be the attitude of the Christian today. Solomon tried with all his might to pass this wisdom on to his son, Rehoboam. In Proverbs 23:26, it says, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." Now, we know that Rehoboam made a conscious choice not to take the counsel of his father's counselors, but sought after his peers and their counsel. Wrong choice. Rehoboam did not understand, nor did he ask God for understanding. We see that Rehoboam went to his peers for understanding. Do we see in the scripture how Rehoboam got on his face before God and said, "God, you've loved David, my grandfather, and Solomon, my father, and you blessed them. Give me wisdom to judge your people." Is that verse or that passage in the scripture? No, it's not. What understanding and wisdom did he seek after? Yeah, human, not divine. Folks, we've got to seek from God wisdom and understanding. Go over to John chapter 4. We see an example of someone asking Jesus of something. In John chapter 4, remember Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria? Remember this story? He had a purpose. He had an appointment with a woman coming out to the well to draw water. Here in John chapter 4, look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Speaking, of course, of the water in the well. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Of course, at this point, she still didn't understand, but eventually she did. And she got that water. And she got that life springing up in her, that everlasting life. You know what? We have got to ask for him to give us. You know what? We need God to give us some things. We need to ask him to give us. He wants us to ask him to give us. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The thief of the cross said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." This lady said, "Sir, give me this water. I want it." Listen, folks, God wants us to ask him. We know that if we lack wisdom, in James it says, "Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." We just need to ask God. "God, give me. God, teach me." God wants us to have understanding. In 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Notice that Paul didn't take the credit for giving Timothy understanding in these things. He said, "Hey, consider what I say. Listen to what I'm saying, but the Lord give you understanding in all things." The psalmist says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Let's look at the last one for tonight. Psalm 119, verse 35. We have, "Teach me, give me," and I like this one especially, "make me." "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Make me. This is being compelled to do something.
and borderline forcing, but not to that degree. Constraint, being compelled, being constrained, because I think the psalmist knew himself. And he knew that in his nature, he didn't want to go in the way of the Lord, but yet he knew that's where the best place for him was. And he knew that once he got in that way, he'd really like it. But he needed to be kind of made to go in that way. Aren't we in a similar situation? Yeah. We need to desire to be made to go in the path of his commandments, because that's where delight is, living in his commandments. We know that, but yet it's hard to rein this old body and this old flesh in that way. We need to be made to do these things. Go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This is a very telling psalm. This is the psalm that David wrote after being confronted by Nathan the prophet about his sin with Bathsheba. And I want you to listen to the words of David here that tell about his life and his decision not to go to war and to do this awful thing. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Yeah. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness. This was a very sorrowful time in his life. I can always say sorrowful, but it's not sour. I guess it is. It's sour. But I find those things amusing. Maybe you don't, but I do. All right. My brain plays tricks on me. But this is a terrible time in his life. This is a time of grief, right? He is in remorse. But he says, make me to hear joy and gladness. You know, sometimes there's a path and a way we don't want to take. We need to be compelled or constrained to do so. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I guess I'm trying to show examples of the attitude of the psalmist. When he says, teach me. When he says, give me. When he says, make me. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Hey, when's the last time you looked at God and said, "God, I know you can make me. Now do it." Hey, we know he's able.
He's able.
We know he's able. We know he can do it. And why can't we, like this leper, come and worship him and say, "Lord, make me. Make me." We ought to want him to make us.
just as much as this leper wanted to be cleansed. And Jesus said, yeah, I'll do it. It says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. You know, could you imagine coming before the throne of God like he tells us? Again, not with pride, not with arrogancy, but with boldness, with another confidence, knowing that he can and he wants to. And we kneel before him and worship him and say, Lord, make me. Make me. And he'll say, I will. I will. Why wouldn't he? He wants to. It says here in verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Is that what he wants for us? Does he want us to follow his commandments and walk in those ways? Yes, he does. So if we say, God, make me to walk in the way of thy commandments, he says, yep, I will. We ought to want him to do that to us. There are so many verses about the potter and the clay we could talk about. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. When you think about a potter and the potter's wheel, and I have several more references about this here, but just in description, that clay, to be made into what it needs to be made to, has to be pliable. It has to be willing to submit to the hand of the potter. If for some reason the clay refuses to submit, there's a passage here. I'll read it to you. Look at Romans. Look at Jeremiah 8. Well, just listen to it. You don't have time to turn there. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Hey, he can make it again and again and again and again and again. But at some point, we've got to yield to him. We've got to look up and say, make me into a cup. Make me into a bowl. Make me into a vase. Right? Make me. Form me. Mold me. Shape me. Constrain me. Compel me to be what you want me to be. We know that we should learn to walk in newness of life. We should be buried with him. Like it says in Romans 6, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. Go back to Psalm 119. The wonderful word of God. As we look into the wonderful word of God, and listen, by no means are these things that I'm telling you exhaustive. Okay? We only have so much time allotted, if you will. I guess we could stay here all night if you want to. But can I tell you something? You can search these things out. But I hope that tonight you saw the connection that the psalmist is trying to make with us concerning his attitude toward the wonderful word of God. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. That's just our attitude. It's our attitude. In no way, shape, or form do I mind it as a teacher when a child says, teach me. Just like God doesn't mind when we say, teach me. And in no way, shape, or form do I as a father mind it when my child says, give me, when it's something that's good for them. And in no way, shape, or form do I mind if someone says, hey, make me go in the right path. Make me do this. I want to serve God. I want to follow God. Can you make me? Yeah, we can. But you got to want to be made to do so. It's our want to. It's our desire. I think the psalmist was desirous that God taught him and gave to him and made him to be what he wanted him to be. Do we? Do we? In the wonderful Word of God, we find these truths. We find this attitude. We find this way to live. Will we? Is the question.